Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and this is episode F241. We have like 3 weeks left of this show. Is that right? We got 14, 15. Yeah, like 3 weeks, almost exactly. Oh, wow. Of this, 3 weeks left of the Fs. And then I got to figure out what to do with my life in general. All right, let's get into the first word, which is fulvus. Let's see. Is there another way that you could pronounce this? Is it ful? Fulvus. Fulvus or fulvus. F-U-L-V-O-U-S. It is an adjective from 1664. It is of a dull brownish yellow, and the synonym is tawny. A dull brownish yellow. Do I have anything here that's fulvus? Let's see. I'm looking around. I mean, I've got these post-its that are kind of yellow, but not really. I mean, I guess technically... Hey, let's bring out the banana again. I guess technically there's probably some fulvous color on the banana. A dull brownish yellow. You know, I mean, this is yellow already, and there's some lots of spots. It's like a Dalmatian of bananas. But, you know, there's some like light brown parts that maybe that would be fulvous. I don't think I've ever heard of this word. It is from the Latin flavus, which means yellow, and there's more at the word blue for some reason. Yellow and blue? Yellow and blue, what is the connection between yellow and blue? Well, yellow and blue are colors, but they are not complementary colors. They're not next to each other on the color wheel. They're close, but not really. Why would there be more at the word blue? Let's go look at the word blue. What's the etymology of blue? What could it possibly be? And how could that possibly be related to yellow or fulvus? Let's see. Here's blue. Blue. It's a color. Let's see. Oh, it is akin to the Latin flavus. Why, though? I'm not seeing anything that shows a connection. What's the... maybe the F and the B... Remember, I mentioned a little while back, there seems to be some sort of connection between F and B in how maybe English evolved over the years. The F became a B in some contexts. And so flavus maybe became blavus and it became blue. Sure, okay, I guess yellow and blue are word cousins. All right, so that is fulvus. A dull brownish yellow. And now I shall make a sound effect, which will be... The next word is... this is definitely not what I would have expected to see in the dictionary, but it is here, and it is probably, possibly a little disrespectful. So let's read it. It is Fu Manchu mustache. This is three words. First word is capital F-U. The second word is Manchu, capital M-A-N-C-H-U, and then the word mustache. It is a noun from 1968. This is a long mustache with ends that turn down to the chin. Well, I guess you could sort of describe the recently passed Hulk Hogan mustache as a Fu Manchu mustache, because he had that iconic mustache that went across and then just down. But the thing is, does a Fu Manchu mustache have to be detached from the skin? You know, it's attached here above the lip, but then the ends that went down, Were they coming from above the lip, or could they be attached to the skin on either sides of the mouth? You know, a Fu Manchu mustache is one thing, but maybe the Hulk Hogan mustache is a whole other thing. Are they, they're similar, but they are different, for sure. Yeah, it doesn't specify whether or not it needs to be attached to the skin on the ends. I think most of us are probably aware of this. We've seen this. We've probably said those words. But why is it called Fu Manchu mustache? Well, it is called Fu Manchu because Fu Manchu is a Chinese villain in stories by Sax Rohmer. And I guess stories by Sax Rohmer. But Sax Rohmer is in quotes. And then in parentheses, it says A.S. Ward, who died in 1955. So I'm a little confused as, here we go, Sax Rohmer Fu Manchu books. Let's see. So there were a whole bunch of books by Sax Rohmer. Oh, but maybe Sax Rohmer was a fake name. Let's find out. Let's look, where Sax Rohmer, we're looking up Sax Rohmer, a name that I never heard. Ah, here we go, a.k.a. Arthur Sarsfield Ward, real name, but then also known as Michael Fury? So I guess Arthur Sarsfield Ward was Sax Rohmer's real name, and they also used the name Michael Fury. Prolific English novelist died in... Oh, now this is interesting. Hold on a second. The book says that A.S. Ward died in 1955, but this website says they died in 1959. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, somebody is wrong. Maybe they're both wrong. Interesting. Okay, so yeah, whole bunch of books featuring the master criminal Dr. Fu Manchu, and he would have had this mustache. And I believe that there were movies made, right? Featuring Fu Manchu, I guess? But they're not calling out Dr. Fu Manchu. I think, you know, Fu Manchu did not go to 10 years of medical school not to be called doctor. So, you know, we got to call it a Dr. Fu Manchu mustache. All right. Well, I learned some stuff. And I don't know what year Ward died, so that's not helpful. But we gotta go on to... Next word is fumarase, or fumarase. F-U-M-A-R-A-S-E. This is a noun from 1936. It is an enzyme that catalyzes the interconversion of fumaric acid and malic acid, or their salts. So we are going to talk about one of those acids in a few minutes or seconds. It catalyzes the interconversion, as in the Krebs cycle. So I guess that's, I've heard of the Krebs cycle. Is that one of the interconversions, one type of interconversion of the fumaric acid and also the malic acid and also, or possibly, their salts? That's fumarase. It's an enzyme. That's what you gotta know. Urgh. Next is fumarate. Noun from 1864. It is a salt or ester of fumaric acid, which is, of course, our next word. Urgh. Fumaric acid or fumaric or fumaric? Maric? One of those ways is perfectly fine. Noun from circa 1864. This is a crystalline acid, C4H4O4, found in various plants or made synthetically. You can make it in a lab if you know what you're doing and you have all of the proper equipment. So this word comes from, the new Latin fumaria, which is the genus of herbs. So I guess because it is found in various plants, it is found in those herbs, which is why they took the name. Also lower Latin fumaria, which means fumatory, and the Latin fumus, which I think means smoke, And the fumatory makes me think of a place where smoke is made, possibly. So yeah, something smoky. Why is this acid connected to smoke somehow? Interesting. Well, if you are really fascinated about that, then I think you should go look up fumaric acid and learn about what's with the smoky thing. Next is fumarole. Fumarole, noun from 1811. This is a hole in a volcanic region from which hot gases and vapors issue. The hot gases and vapors are being spewed out of this hole in a region around a volcano, maybe on a volcano, near a volcano, and so they call it a fumarole. A fumarole is a hole. Fumarolic is an adjective, but where does this word come from? It is from the Italian fumarola. It is also from the Italian dialect, the Neapolitan dialect, probably the same word, from the Lower Latin fumariolum, which means vent, from the Latin fumarium, which means smoke chamber for aging wine. Oh, so when you're aging wine, do you want to put it in a chamber that's filled with smoke? What does the smoke do when you're aging wine? Then also, yes, from the Latin fumus, which we know is all about the smoke. So clearly, there's something, well, you know, a hole near a volcano. Those hot gases and vapors are issuing out of there. And, you know, they're smokes, or look like smokes. They're vapors. They're all very similar. They're gases. Hot gases and vapors. Okay, it's a fumarole. There we go. Now, we got to move on to fumble. First form of fumble, it is a verb from 1534. Starting with intransitive, number 1A. To grope for or handle something clumsily or aimlessly. I've lost my aim. I don't know where to aim my hands when I'm trying to grasp for the things. More often, I think it's all about being clumsy. I have definitely fumbled around for things. Oh, maybe when my eyes are closed and I'm very tired and I'm fumbling on the side table of my bed for my phone. Oh, I'm fumbling around. I'm knocking over everything. 1B. To make awkward attempts to do or find something. Similar to the example that I just gave, but we have another example, which is fumbled in his pocket for a coin. I know I put that coin in here somewhere. Where is that coin? I gotta find that coin. It's a very special coin. I gotta use it to buy a Pepsi. 1C. To search by trial and error. Oh, well, let's try this door. Nope, not that door. Let's try this door. Oh, we're just fumbling door after door after door. Door after door after Dora the Explorer. 1D, the synonym is blunder. Number 2, to feel one's way or move awkwardly. Fumbling, so yeah, you're still like fumbling around through life, doing your thing. Maybe if you're in a very dark room, you got to put your hands out to feel where things are. And yeah, you probably look pretty awkward doing it. So yeah, that would be fumbling. 3A, to drop or juggle or fail to play cleanly a grounder. So I think this is for baseball. This specifically, I think, is for baseball. There's a grounder that came up. It's bouncing on the ground down towards you. And then you grab it, you try to grab it, but you pop it up because it's moving so fast. You're like, oh, I'm fumbling, I'm juggling, I'm failing to play this grounder. Oh, I dropped the grounder, I fumbled it. I think jugglers should be called fumblers because they're juggling and fumbling their balls. 3B is to lose hold of a football while handling or running with it. This is what the American football players do not want to do. They are required to have possession of the ball first. They, you know, I don't know what the exact rule is, but there's something like, oh, yes, they had possession. They were holding on to it. They made a couple of steps. And then once that happened, then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they lost hold of it. They lost control of it. They dropped it. They juggled it. They failed to play. And they fumbled. That's what it is. And then the other team is like, oh, hey, guys, let's go get the ball. They fumbled it. Come on, let's pile on the pile and try to get that fumbled ball. Oh, the ball will get fumbled. Okay, so that is fumbled. Now we got to move on to transitive. Number one, to bring about by clumsy manipulation. I'm just going to manipulate this clumsily. Bringing about. I'm going to bring this thing about clumsily. 2A. To feel or handle clumsily. I definitely have done some clumsily handling of things in my day. You know, just like, I dropped it. Oh, what's happened? I'm Mr. Butterfingers over here. Just call me Mr. Butterfingers. Now we have 2B, which is to deal with in a blundering way. The synonym is bungle. Mr. Bungle, Mr. Butterfingers, Mr. Fumble. I have never heard of a Mr. Fumble. I think that should be a thing. Number 3, to make in a clumsy manner. And what are you making? It's your way. Ooh, to make one's way in a clumsy manner. So maybe you're just walking down the street, just bumping into everything, fumbling around, fumbling into people and walls and streetlights. Number 4A, the synonym is misplay, which is one word, misplay. The example is fumble a grounder. Misplay. Oh, they did a misplay. 4B, to lose hold of while handling or running. And of course, the thing that you are losing hold of is the football. So here we go. Let's talk about, so this is transitive. You are the football player losing hold of the football. You are fumbling. But if we go back to intransitive, to lose hold of a football while handling or running with it. Similar definitions. I think that intransitive would be the football was fumbled. But the football player fumbled. But the definitions don't really make me think that now. I don't know. I'm confused. Fumbler is a noun, and fumblingly is an adverb. Look at Spencer walking down the street fumblingly, dropping footballs that other people pick up and take and get a touchdown. They score. Let's look at the etymology. Probably of Scandinavian origin, akin to the Swedish fumla, which means to fumble. So that's it. Fumble is fumble. The second form of fumble is a noun from 1634. Number 1, an act or instance of fumbling. Number 2, a fumbled ball. Oh, we gotta go pick up the fumble. The fumble fumble. The fumble was fumbled. I'm going to pick it up so I can go get a score. I love a fumble. The fumbles are probably the most exciting part of a football game, I think. Oh, yes. Who's going to get it? You see the ball popping out all over the place. I want to get the ball. And it bounces weird because it's not a round ball. Fumbles. Arr. Now we have the first form of the word fume. F-U-M-E. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, a smoke, vapor, or gas, especially when irritating or offensive, as in engine exhaust fumes. The fumes coming out of the engine, out the back of the car, through that pipe. They are the fumes. Oh, they are so offensive and irritating. I don't want to be smelling that stuff. I was just in a parking garage waiting to leave, because it was after a show, and I was on almost the top floor, and so I had a very long time to wait. I think it was almost 20 minutes that I was sitting there waiting. And very quickly, I said, I am going to shut off my car so I am not well, first of all, so I'm just saving gas. Also, so I'm not exuding out all of these fumes into the garage where there might be some other people standing around. We don't need those extra fumes in our lungs. Also, it was super hot, and I opened the door, so I definitely did not want more fumes coming in. All right, number 1B, an often noxious suspension of particles in a gas, and an example of the gas would be air. Often noxious suspension of particles. Oh, these particles, I'm just going to suspend them into the air, and those are the fumes. Number 2, something as an emotion that impairs one's reasoning. The example is, it's a quote, "Sometimes his head gets a little hot with the fumes of patriotism." That is from Matthew Arnold. Sometimes his head gets a little hot with the fumes of patriotism. So let's go back to the definition. The emotion, something like emotions that impair one's reasoning. Oh, I'm just so confused by my emotion of happiness that I can't reason anymore. I have too much happiness. I have fumes of happiness in my head. Well, this doesn't seem like an example that probably gets used very often, but yeah, if you have so much of a certain emotion and you can't do logical things anymore because of that, then those are fumes. The example is, it's not an emotion. It's not talking about emotion. Patriotism, is that an emotion? Fumes of patriotism? I don't know about that. Number 3, a state of excited irritation or anger. This is usually used in the phrase, in a fume. Oh, I'm in a fume. I'm in a fume. I have such irritation or anger. I am in a fume. Now, I have not heard in a fume, but I do know that when people fume, which I think will be the next form, they are angry. So, yes, I am in a state of excited irritation. Fumey is an adjective, and we have a phrase, on fumes. This is, with little of the original strength or energy remaining. Sometimes we are literally talking about a car that's driving on fumes because they don't have a lot of gas left. Sometimes you're like, oh, at the end of the day, I'm just running on fumes. I need to go to bed, but I still have work to do. I have very little strength or energy left. The example is tired ball players running on fumes. Maybe when they're tired and they're running on fumes, they might be fumbling a lot. All right. Anything else about this one? Yes, there is the etymology. This is from the Latin fumus, smoke, akin to the Old High German taumen, which means to be fragrant. Also from the Sanskrit duma, which means smoke. And the old OCS, I can't remember, but it means dimu, and it doesn't say what that means, but I am curious about the OCS, which I'm going to find that right over here. It is, there's so many, Old Church Slavic, that's what it was. It doesn't say what their word means, but I'm going to assume it means smoke. So yes, we had, you know, the engine exhaust, these vapors and gases and things, it's like a smoke, so those are fumes. And you got fumes in your head, smoke of patriotism, and, maybe running on fumes. Literally in the gas with the car, or maybe metaphorically, you got no more energy. Your energy is now fumes. The second form of fume is a verb from the 14th century, starting with transitive, number 1. To expose to or treat with fumes, like maybe we're going to fume the house to get rid of the bugs, because you got too many bugs. A lot of bugs you got. You can have a couple of bugs, but you have thousands of bugs, so we gotta fume the place. 2. To give off in fumes, as in fuming thick black smoke. And maybe that fuming situation is coming from a fumarole around, it's a hole by a volcano. 3. To utter while in a state of excited irritation or anger. Okay, so while you are in a fume, right? You got that fume thing going on, and you are uttering while you're in that state. What are you uttering? Probably, I'm in a fume. So you are fuming. Intransitive is, number 1A, to emit fumes. 1B, to be in a state of excited irritation or anger, as in fretted and fumed over the delay. Oh, I try not to fume. I try not to get so angry. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So, you know, don't be excitedly irritated or angry. Number 2, to rise in or as if in fumes. To rise in fumes or as if in fumes? What's rising in fumes? Well, smokes, vapors, gases, those are rising in fumes. Yes, and my sound effect is like, oh, when I'm so excitedly irritated or angry, I might go, ah, I'm fuming. I'm so angry about that thing. Why did my team fumble? That made me fume. Next is fume or fumet. Yeah, either one is fine. It is spelled F-U-M-E-T. So fume seems like the more proper way to pronounce it. It is a noun from 1906. It is a reduced and seasoned fish, meat, or vegetable stock. So you're making a stock, a liquid, from the fish, the meat, or the vegetables, and it has been reduced down to make, to be now a fume. So this is a French word, and it literally means pleasant aroma. And then in parentheses, it says, of meat cooking. The pleasant aroma of meat cooking is the fume. Oh boy, I don't eat the meat, but I still appreciate the smell. In fact, I work down the street from a barbecue place. And every once in a while, especially if I'm walking around the area, which is not very common, but if I'm walking, you know, from home or to home or whatever, I smell the fume in the air, the fumes of the meat vapors, and it's a pleasant aroma. So the fume is the pleasant aroma of meat cooking. But we got a little bit more. We got from Middle French fumer, which means to give off smoke or steam. Also from the Latin fumare, which is from fumus, which is smoke. So, you know, when you reduce this fish, meat, or vegetable into a stock, it probably has a very good smell. It is emitting aromas and fumes into the world in your nose. And so it is a fume. Next is fumigant, noun from 1940. This is a substance used in fumigating, which, here we go, let's talk about that. This is our last word. Fumigate. F-U-M-I-G-A-T-E. Verb from 1781. It looks to be only transitive. It is to apply smoke, vapor, or gas to especially for the purpose of disinfecting or of destroying pests. Yes, we've got to go fumigate with the fumes. You can see where this word comes from. Fumigation is a noun, and fumigator is a noun. See you later, fumigator. Oh, why don't we say that one? What other words end in gator like that? Fumigator. An alligator. A fumigator. Alligator? Oh, boy. That's a thing. All right. What's the etymology of this? We clearly know most of this. There's not really a whole lot more to say, so the so it's from the Latin fumigare, okay, which is from fumus, which means smoke, plus igare, which is akin to the Latin agere, which means to drive. So you're driving the smoke into the thing, you're pushing it in there, saying, hey house, here's some smoke, here's some vapors, do your thing, we're going to put a big old tent over you so you can hold on to these vapors and these pests will then die. And then you got to come in and clean them up. All right. Those were all of the words, and it is now word of the episode time. Time for the best word. Here we go. Today we had fulvus, Fu Manchu mustache, fumarace, fumarate, fumaric acid, fumarole, fumble, fumble, fume, 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 fumigant, fumigate. That's it. All right, which one of these was so good that I must pick it as the word of the episode? I mean, there was some interesting etymology we had. Learned about the pleasant aroma of meats, of meat cooking. Let's see, anything else? I don't think I want to pick Fu Manchu mustache. You know, these books were not written by an actual Chinese person. They were written by a British person. So I'm very curious. In fact, there's probably, if we go to the Wikipedia page for this whole thing, there might be some information about, how disrespectful it is, I assume. Let's see. Yes, Dr. Fu Manchu. This is a whole Wikipedia page about this character. I want to see. Oh, there's a cultural impact. The style of facial hair associated with Fu Manchu in film adaptations has become known as the Fu Manchu mustache. The Fu Manchu mustache is defined in the Oxford English Dictionary as a long, narrow mustache whose ends taper and droop down to the chin. Although Romer's writings describe the character as wearing no such adornment. Oh, the film people, they created it. Let's see, anything interesting to say about, I mean, this character has been in so many things. Ah, here we go, accusations of racism. The stories of Dr. Fu Manchu, both in print and on screen, have sparked accusations of racism and Orientalism, from his fiendish design to his nonsensical Chinese name. Oh, his name means nothing? Or not, doesn't make any sense? After the release of MGM's film adaptation of The Mask of Fu Manchu, which featured the Chinese villain telling his followers that they must kill the white man and take his women, the Chinese embassy in D.C. issued a formal complaint against the film, and that was from 1932. Yeah, there's more. Fascinating stuff. This character has been in over 100 years, has been going on. I wonder what they claim. I'm curious about the name. Anyway, I don't think I want to pick Fu Manchu mustache as the word of the episode, though. I just went on a little tangent. Let's pick fumble as the word of the episode. I'm fumbling my words, I'm fumbling my hand. Oh boy, my voice is fumbling. I think that was fine. All right, I'm going to talk about maybe a couple of movies because I can't remember. Did I talk about Jurassic World Rebirth? But I don't remember. I watched this one on my own, and you know what? People are saying it. I've heard some people say it's not so good, that it's the worst one, but I don't think it's the worst one. You know, obviously, they're all crappier than the very first one, 32 years ago. And in fact, the beginning of the movie has a caption that comes on that says 32 years ago, and they're like, you know what? I guess this is taking place in 2025, or whatever, 32 years after the first one. But yeah, I liked it. It was fun. You know, I don't think I would put it at the bottom of the list. I guess I should probably dig more deeper into what people have to say about it, what those ratings are. But, you know, it had dinosaurs, it had humor, it had action, it had heart, and some people died. from dinosaurs. So, you know what? I can't fault it too much. Although, you know what? I think we gotta have a whatever's next. We need some more creative ideas. You know, this one had some stuff. These movies, these where they're, I don't know. They're the people who are in the movies, you know, those old lab scientists creating, mutating, making up dinosaurs because everybody's getting bored with them. Maybe they should have stopped a long time ago. Anyway, that's one. I don't remember if I talked about that. I probably didn't, but let's talk about another one. You know what? Let's hold off. If I talked about Jurassic World twice, then you have to deal with that. And I'll talk about another one next time. Come back to this show. Same time, same place, which is anytime you want, anywhere you want, because it's all on demand. You can come back and I'll talk about another movie, and I will talk about some more words, and hopefully there will be a guest coming up in a handful of episodes. All right, very good. Class, you did great. You passed the test. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. Wow.